Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Boy Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Busy Ball.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Reddy Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records revealing that each of the rappers are coming up, getting put on. We need a new platform to fight the beast. The show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow with Witches.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering graphics, just download the song. Check out the archives and hundreds of shows. Plenty of content to view the deeds. Do everything free to download the stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real review.
We got
the gold,
we beat, we brought our bitch, we represent. All them killers on the mic, and we should love to all you fans. Baby, keep the focus, bringing nothing but the rhythm. Come and tune into the dopest.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy, knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's UGS for life, dog. Hip-hop, AD, representing for them legends. Rapping mumble rappers, so we ain't sitting on the hip. Tupac and B, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's the Murder Master Music Show. Free the homie gangsta, bro. I see these rappers on these streets. I got my chopper about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Prez. This is episode 601 of the Murder Master Music Show. Tonight, we're stepping outside the box a little bit. You know, I have an author on the line who wrote a phenomenal book called American Hemp. You know, how growing our newest cash crop can improve our health, clean our environment, and slow climate change. Her name is Jen Hobbs. It was forwarded by none other than Jesse Ventura, which we're going to have him on in the future, kind of do a follow-up to this interview. But this is a book everybody should get, especially if you don't have knowledge of hemp. And with all these new laws that they're passing and they just passed the end of last year, you need to know what's going on. So tune in, enjoy the show. Let me bring on Jen Hobbs. Jen, how are you doing?
Hi, thanks for having me. Doing great.
Well, it's an honor to have you. I really like the book. I know you worked with Jesse Ventura on his book, Marijuana Manifesto. What made you want to get into and kind of do a book on your own?
Well, when Jesse and I were writing that book, we had a chapter on hemp, and it just dedicated, it was just all about hemp's benefits, you know, different abilities that the plant can do and how different it is from marijuana. And when we were going through that chapter, I learned a lot of information. I thought I knew a lot about hemp, but there was just so many things that I didn't know, and I felt that it would be, you know, I figured, you know, I can't be the only one that doesn't know these things. So I wanted to expand on what we researched and write it in another book.
Yeah. It's amazing how when you do research for one book, you come up with something like, wow, this is a whole other book all in itself. And you put it very well. I mean, I love everything about it. But I want to give our listeners kind of an idea, you know, the difference between, you mentioned marijuana, hemp and marijuana. Most people, they associate the two. Can you let everybody know the difference?
Sure. So hemp and marijuana are both cannabis, but the best way to really describe it is that they're cousins. You know, they look similar, but they do completely different things. The easiest way to describe it is you know, hemp has 0.3% THC, and marijuana has a lot more than that, and that's the part that gets you high. So, you know, you can smoke hemp. It won't do anything to you. It won't get you high. And hemp is used for all sorts of industrial purposes. So, you know, traditionally rope, paper, you know, clothing, but, you know, now we're starting to use it for plastics and all sorts of stuff. So it's pretty exciting, like you said. You know, the government recently legalized it, so it'll be really interesting to see what happens now that it's legalized.
Yeah, it would, because, you know, originally this country was thriving with hemp and hemp production. What happened to change the minds of the lawmakers? Do you think it was other industries, or what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so originally, I mean, our country was pretty much founded on hemp. Back to, you know, dating back to the 13 colonies, they all produced hemp. And the British needed it for their navy. They had the biggest navy in the world at the time, and they needed it for canvas, for their sails, for uniforms, for rope. And you can even pay, at the time, you could pay your taxes to the British Crown in hemp. That's how much they needed it. You know, all the founding fathers grew hemp. George Washington grew hemp in all five of his farms. It's just a really big part of our culture. You know, we've had American flags made out of hemp, and even documents that we have. You know, some of the first early documents of this country were written on hemp paper. And then, you know, around the 1930s, the government came up with something called the Marijuana Tax Act. And what this was designed to do was the federal government was trying to come up with ways to make more money to increase the size of the federal government, and they wanted to do that through taxation. So they started, you know, this campaign against marijuana and hemp, and they lumped the two of them together as cannabis. They didn't differentiate from them. And they were both put in this bill called the 1937 Marijuana Tax Act. People that produced it, whether you're, you know, a farmer or you're manufacturing hemp, you had to pay a certain type of tax in order to do that. And it just wasn't really something that a lot of farmers and businesses could do at the time. It seemed like it was a risky endeavor. And then plus for marijuana, you know, doctors that were prescribing it at the time, they actually had to submit paperwork to the Bureau of Narcotics about who they give it to, how much of it they give, and it just became, you know, something that doctor confidentiality, they didn't want to do that either, so people just stopped using it. In the case of hemp, anyway, a lot of industries at the time really saw it as competition, and William Randolph Hearst, for instance, he had the largest newspaper chain in the country. A lot of magazines now are through Hearst Communications, and he started that. And he owned a forest used to produce all the paper for his newspapers. And obviously, since hemp can be manufactured into paper, he saw hemp as a competition to what he was doing. So he, you know, lobbied the government and wanted to, you know, he really pushed to get hemp into this Marijuana Tax Act. And he wasn't the only one. The Department of the Treasury, the director, Andrew Mellon, he was a private banker as well, and he was financing DuPont, which is a petrochemical company that's still in existence today. And they had a paper pumping company, and they thought that, you know, hemp would be in competition to their chemical patents and what they were doing. So, you know, everyone was trying to, you know, get rid of the hemp industry, which is a shame because we now know it's so useful for so many other things.
Yeah, exactly. And some of those things, I mean, a lot of people, when they think of hemp, they think of CBD, and you know, it's the first thing that comes to mind because that's all they know. Well, break down, you know, what CBD is and how it's effective on so many different, you know, different ailments and different things that you know, people suffer from.
Right. So, yeah, so CBD is one of the cannabinoids, and it's in both marijuana and hemp. There's more of it in the hemp plant than the marijuana plant traditionally. And CBD they have all sorts of different medical studies, scientific studies into all of its medicinal benefits. So it can help people with, you know, just about, I mean, just about any type of condition. It helps people with seizures, with epilepsy. It can help people with addiction, Alzheimer's disease, anxiety, asthma, arthritis, you know, it goes through a whole list of just, it touches on basically any type of, you know, neurological or, you know, a problem with, or, you know, high, with a lot of pain, if you have a lot of pain or something like that, it's very helpful. And the reason why is because it interacts with the endocannabinoid system in our body, and that is involved in just about every system that we have, particularly like our mood, our response to stress, our sense of pain, our metabolism, our immune system. So a lot of the things that it, you know, helps to balance are really, you know, at the root of it. So stuff like, you know, bipolar disorder, it can help with depression, even, you know, heart disease and glaucoma. So when you take CBD, it bonds with these receptors in the endocannabinoid system in our bodies, and it works to balance out any deficiencies or adjust excessive activity. So it's really interesting. It's pretty fascinating, and it's something that, you know, people are a lot of scientists and researchers are really starting to get more into, especially now that the FDA passed the first, they just approved the first drug, pharmaceutical drug, with CBD in it called Epidiolex for seizure conditions.
See, and that's the thing, what really made me a believer when I saw a young child who suffered from epilepsy having a seizure, and his father, I don't know if you've ever seen this clip before, but his father rubbed just a little bit of oil on his foot, and it literally stopped the young boy from seizing up and going into convulsions, like almost instantly, within a few seconds. You know, when you see that work, you realize that, why shouldn't this be everywhere? Well, now it is.
Right.
My question for you, Jen, is this. I've seen it at my local video store, the gas station, here. Where is a reputable place where I could buy this, and I know it's not going to be full of some junk that some company just put in it. Where would you recommend the safest place to buy CBD is at?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and unfortunately, it kind of varies from state to state. Some states that have legalized CBD already, or have legalized medical marijuana, already have a system in place, so you can go to a dispensary and you can get it there. And if it's at a dispensary, it is usually, it goes through like very strict parameters. So you know exactly what's in it, the percentage that's in it, the dose that you're supposed to take, and you know that it's you know, manufactured the right way, that there's nothing in there that's going to, you know, harm your body in any way. The other thing I would say is there are different types of CBD extract. The one that I would recommend is called full spectrum or whole plant CBD. What that is it's, you know, they have like two types. They have like a CBD oil that's just CBD, so they extract just the CBD. But if you get the full spectrum, what that is that includes all of the other cannabinoids that are in the plant, and that has both of them work, but the full spectrum works better. You need you don't need as much, and it helps with more things. So it's just overall, if you're going to, you know, look for CBD, you should look for something that says full spectrum on it. And then, of course, obviously it depends on what you have, and, you know, it's kind of weird, you know, trying to figure out how much of it you might need, you know. And that's obviously, you know, for kids that have epilepsy or seizures, like you're saying, sometimes it only takes like a drop. They just take a drop a day under the tongue or something like that, and they're fine. You know, it doesn't bother them anymore. But, you know, it just depends on the condition, you know.
And I know it's combating the opioid epidemic. My father, you know, he passed away last year. He had prostate cancer, and during his treatments, I inquired. This is before they passed all the hemp laws recently and stuff. But I inquired about him using hemp and CBD oils, and right away they were adamant about no, we prescribe opiates and things of that nature. Do you think that's another reason why this stuff was kept off the market, so Big Pharm could kind of push those painkillers, so to speak?
Yeah, the opioid crisis is really amazing. I mean, once we're starting to get into this Purdue lawsuit and really see everything that was going on, I mean, FDA drug trials and studies take years, and this thing got passed. I mean, the original first couple, I think it was oxycodone, that passed in like 10 months. It was just remarkable. Like, that's just not possible with any other drug. So, yeah, I mean, it's very strange that, you know, how widespread that is, how quickly doctors are ready to prescribe it, and now we know how addictive it is. And it's the type of thing where you won't know if you're addicted to it until you end up addicted to it. But like you're saying, CBD, they have a lot of studies right now that show that it actually can stop addiction. So, you know, alcohol addiction, even something like cigarettes, but as well as opioid addiction. So, you know, that's really pretty awesome to see that something that comes from a plant that, you know, which just grows in the ground, you don't need any crazy, you know, things to cook up in a lab, and it just fixes the problem, you know?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's one of the best things to happen in our generation, for sure. One of the other things people don't realize is that hemp could be used, I mean, virtually any which way. I found out through your book, you could actually use it to make up concrete. They call it hempcrete.
Right.
I never knew that. I knew you could make paper, clothing, rope, and things of that nature, but I never knew you could make concrete. How durable is that compared to regular concrete? Can you build a house with it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. There's houses actually in the United States right now that are built from hemp, in Canada and England. Actually, some archaeologists have said that some of the structures, like the ancient structures that are still around today, like the pyramids, and they have checked, like, the deposits of how they've put all these bricks together and stuff, and they used hemp. They used hemp, lime, and water.
Wow.
Which is basically the same formula as today's hempcrete. So it just tells you how long this plant has been around. And, you know, again, this is news to us, but people have been using it for, you know, for hundreds of thousands of years. You know, it's going to be really interesting to see if that makes a comeback, because concrete, you know, that's made also with fossil fuels, with petroleum, and it's not, you know, it's not as eco-friendly as you would think. So, you know, hempcrete comes from the hemp fiber of the plant. When they break that down, it what it actually does as well is it sequesters carbon. So over the span of time that you have your house, it's actually removing carbon from the air, and it also gets harder and strengthens with time, which is really interesting when you think about it, you know, the way that anything in a house typically breaks as the house gets older. But, you know, it's just really interesting to see that. And actually, since hemp is now legal, federally legal, the EPA just funded a grant for the University of California to do a study on hempcrete, on how to make it more environmentally friendly, make it even faster, you know, make it something that, you know, we could really potentially see on a commercial level. So you could one day, you know, be living in a house made of hemp.
See, and that's amazing. I had no idea that you're talking about, like, the pyramids were built, and they've lasted thousands and thousands of years, so that right there proves that this stuff is real strong and durable. This could really offset so many markets, like we were talking about, oil goods, concrete, you know, paper, you name it. Is that why this hemp was pretty much suppressed? Because of greed, pretty much corporate greed?
Yeah, a lot of corporations, you know, you think about it, what actually happened was, you know, the processing to make products out of hemp was didn't really get industrialized as quickly as, you know, making things out of cotton or, you know, other products like wood. So once hemp really, like, caught up to that, that's when we started seeing this problem. So there were already industries that were dedicated to making these products other ways. And then, you know, these articles started getting written, oh, yeah, well, now we can, you know, modernize the hemp industry because they made all these new, you know, they came out with these new farming methods and these new techniques to, you know, break down the fiber easier. And, you know, this is what they're doing in Europe. And all the American industrialists said, oh, that's direct competition for us. But what we're seeing now, though, is that corporations are really embracing it. You're seeing a lot of people, you know, a lot of big corporations actually add it to their products. So like car manufacturers, I know BMW has been doing this for a while now. They incorporate it in their door panels. So instead of carbon fiber, which isn't that environmentally friendly to make, they're making plastics for their doors out of hemp and flax fiber, so natural fibers. And obviously it's just the same. It's, you know, lightweight, and it's much more environmentally friendly.
That's what I was going to say. That's where the slowing the climate change and stuff comes into play. You're cutting down less trees. You're doing so many things for the environment. What about all these people who don't believe in things like climate change? How do we change their minds, so to speak?
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, traditionally, you know, Republicans don't really believe in climate change. But, you know, the Republican Party also just legalized hemp. You know, Mitch McConnell is one of the biggest hemp supporters of all time. And his state of Kentucky is, you know, ramping up their hemp production. He's the one that got the Industrial Hemp Act into the Farm Bill in the first place. And then, of course, Trump signed it into law. So it's kind of interesting, you know, when you look at it that way, that it's almost like, well, it doesn't matter if they believe in it or not. It's going to happen. So, you know, just by growing the plant, it also takes pollution out of the ground. So if there's if there's contamination like heavy metal or lead or arsenic or radiation even in the soil, the plant actually absorbs that and it takes the toxins out so it can make the soil usable for other purposes. So, you know, if you have like a site that's been contaminated by major industry, that's a great way to clean up, you know, just the soil in general. And then, of course, the plant also breathes in more carbon than any other commercialized crop, or really most trees. And, you know, breathes in more than most trees do. So, you know, just by growing it, we're making a change, you know, with our carbon footprint just there.
It's helping people on so many levels they don't even realize it. Like when they do these propagandas against like they did, okay, Reefer Madness, of course, and then you said they lumped hemp in with marijuana. It's crazy how easily the human mind can be brainwashed. You know, now you're getting these older people, all their lives they were told marijuana was bad and even had they lumped hemp in with their, now they're starting to come around a little bit because they're seeing the effects of what it could do.
Yep.
why do people continue to fall for the same stuff over and over again? It's like there's false narratives coming out all the time. What made people turn around with hemp, though? For 80 years, this was a demonized thing. What made them finally turn around?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is that farmers always knew the benefits, obviously. I mean, the crazy thing is, so the Marijuana Tax Act, right? So as soon as that was passed, a couple years later, we ended up going into World War II. And when that happened, we lost our supply chain to hemp, which we actually needed for the war. And the government turned around and said, okay, never mind, we won't tax you. We want you to grow hemp. So they had all the farmers that could grow it. They built all these processing plants, and, this was like everyone was writing news articles about it, how amazing it was, how many things it was making for the war. Politicians were being quoted as saying that, we wouldn't be able to win this war without it. It was such a big deal because at the time, I mean, this is the stuff that was used for parachute cords and stuff like that. So, it was really essential to pretty much everything that was made out of fabric in the military. And, right after World War II, they turned around and, went right back to the way things were. If you wanted to grow it, you were taxed. And then they tried to change the taxation system so that it was even worse. So it would, it would discourage people to do it. And they actually had, I mentioned it in the book, they had all these hearings in Congress where they heard from farmers and, different people in industries that were saying, no, we prefer hemp fabric. We want to use it. Everyone in Europe is using this. What's the big deal? And, Congress was like, all right, well, we'll change the law. We'll change the taxation code. By the time they got around to it, it wasn't relevant anymore. There were too many synthetic fibers like polyester and spandex and things like that. And that was already, it just fell out of popularity again, I guess you could say. But it's interesting because people in the Midwest, just about every Midwestern state you can think of grew it, during World War II, and all these people, their families have been farming for generations. So, they have pictures, This is like not foreign to them. They're perfectly aware of it. And, it's been largely an advocacy effort from farmers for years, because also for them, there's also problems with like crops getting diseases and all sorts of, infestations and things like that. And when you put hemp into that crop rotation, it'll break that cycle because it's kind of like immune to some of those infestations, and pests don't like it. So you can kind of get rid of a lot of that and help your, help your overall yield for the other crop.
It absorbs toxins.
So, yeah. Yeah. It's crazy because, for us, like I said, when I was researching for Jesse Ventura's Marijuana Manifesto, this is all stuff that I didn't know. It was fascinating to me. I had never heard of it before. I really didn't know the full extent of our history with hemp, but which is I think why a lot of people just don't know its benefits. We were never taught it. You'd have to really go out there and look for it for yourself to really know these things. And when it's been lumped in with marijuana for your entire life, you just, you don't know any better, And I'm glad that obviously, we're starting to actually use it again and get it. At the end of the day, prohibition only hurts our country, really. That's the main point of the book. You look at all these things that the plant can make, and we know this, we've known this for a long time, but it's only it doesn't help us whenever you make something illegal like a plant like this. You know, we're kind of starting from scratch with CBD research and things like that, where we could have been a long way if this plant was legal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely. Now, I take it you're going around doing speaking engagements. What has been the overall reaction from your book, and have you faced any backlash from anybody that's against the hemp movement?
You know, I haven't run across anybody who's against hemp, which is good. You know, I haven't run across anyone. Yeah, it's great. I have read some. So one thing that is crazy though, so South Dakota and Idaho both decided that they weren't going to adopt the 2018 Farm Bill, and in Idaho and South Dakota, they still have their laws set up that hemp and marijuana are the same thing. And if you're caught with hemp, CBD, you know, you're charged just as if you were had marijuana, that just blew my mind. That blew my mind. That just happened recently where the governor of South Dakota actually decided to veto the industrial hemp program for the state. And this is like a state where agriculture is the number one, you know, means for their economy. So the farmers are going crazy, and, you know, now they have to wait until 2020, which is when the federal program is going to be rolled out. But it's just crazy to me that they just don't want to move forward. And Idaho is the same way. It's even worse because they're surrounded by states that have hemp programs. So, you know, if you're in like Oregon and you have a hemp farm and you want to transport your hemp to another state to have it processed, which is completely legal now, federally legal, and you want to pass through Idaho, that's a problem because they'll arrest you. And they'll charge you as if you are transporting a truckload of marijuana. And that's happened quite a few times now. They had a bill recently in their state legislature to change that, and then they decided not to do it last minute. So that to me is just, I mean, you couldn't be more on the wrong side of history. I mean, I still can't get over that, you know.
Some people just want to go against the grain just to do it. I think, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But the final chapter in your book, which kind of leads into it right now, you talk about the future with hemp. You know, where do you see us maybe in the next 5 to 10 years with this new hemp revolution that we're going through right now?
Well, I mean, you know, we talked about a lot of the different things that hemp can be used for, but, I mean, there's just so many other things it just depends on where, you know, what the farmers end up selling it for, really. You know, what avenues are really, put up through the economy. So, obviously, CBD is the easiest one, and that's the one where everyone's going for right now because you can make a lot of money selling hemp for CBD. But, you know, there's also companies right now that are setting up to make plastic out of hemp. So, like, the parts of the plant that don't end up getting used to make CBD or to make food out of hemp, then you can take those parts and you can turn that into plastic. So what's really interesting about the plant is, like, every part of it can be used for something. So, you know, if you're just growing hemp to make like hemp seeds or hemp protein or something like that, like protein powder, you can sell the rest of the plant to someone else who can turn it into paper or plastic, or, you know, and everything then is biodegradable or more biodegradable than what we have. So it just depends on, you know, what avenues end up opening up for hemp, you know, in our country. And we'll just have to wait and see. But what I keep telling people is that I think that it's like similar to the internet. So, you know, when you first got your first, you know, home computer and you had the dial-up speed, and it was cool, but, you know, we had no idea that it was going to be in every aspect of our lives, you know? I mean, it's in your, you know? So that's kind of the way I look at hemp, is that we're kind of on dial-up right now, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, definitely. One more question I have for you, Jen. It's been wonderful talking to you about this. You've worked with Governor Jesse Ventura twice now. Like I said, in his book, Marijuana Manifesto, and then he did the foreword in this book, American Hemp. What's it like working with him, and how did you meet Jesse Ventura?
Yeah, he is such an interesting person. I met him in 2007 or 2008. He had a book, Don't Start the Revolution Without Me. And at the time, I was the publicity director for the publishing house that published that book. And I set up his book tour, and we just got to know each other from that. And then I just worked with him, you know, whenever he had a book, he asked me to, you know, help him promote it. And then we got to know each other really well through that experience. And you get to talking to someone, you get to know them personally. And I shared with him that my husband is a medical marijuana patient, and we grew medical marijuana in California for a few years. And one of his family members had her life changed completely by CBD. So he was always, so that's really the connection there as to why we teamed up to write Jesse Ventura's Marijuana Manifesto. We both really, you know, had such a personal relationship with marijuana and saw how good it is for people from a, you know, medical standpoint. And he's just a very open person. You know, he'll tell you about his time as governor, or, you know, being a wrestler, or, you know, he's just a very open open guy. I respect him a lot. He's I definitely have learned a lot from him.
Yeah, I respect the fact that he doesn't fall for the two-party dictatorship. And he knows that there could be better than what we have, and hopefully someday he will make that jump, if you know what I mean, because I'd love to see him go in there and just destroy Republicans and Democrats. I think he can do it. I think he could have the type of movement in this country that could actually take over. You know, he did in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Why not do it in the federal government level? Jen, I want to thank you so much for taking the time out to speak about your book. The book is American Hemp, How Growing Our Newest Cash Crops Can Improve Our Health, Clean Our Environment, and Slow Climate Change. Of course, with the foreword by Jesse Ventura. Phenomenal book. I want everybody to go out and get this. And also, before I let you go, Jen, is there anything you want to say or touch on before we leave?
About the only thing I can think of is, you know, just try your best to, you know, keep yourself in the know about, you know, what's going on in your state, because just because hemp is legal on the federal level doesn't mean that your state might come up with some weird, unfriendly hemp laws. So, that's the one thing to kind of look out for, and especially, too, with medical marijuana or just recreational marijuana, if those are issues that you're passionate about, you know, just kind of keep up to date with what's going on, and, you know, just advocate for it in any way you can. The way I look at it, you know, if I buy some hemp products, it helps the industry. Even something little like that, you know, can really help, you know. So that's kind of my takeaway for it. I try and seek out, you know, it's in the supermarket now all over the place, you know, hemp lotions and shampoos and things like that, and I just try and support it as much as I can.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thanks again, Jen. You have a wonderful evening. We'll talk real soon.
All right. Thanks for having me. Take care.